The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com. Aloha, everybody. I'm Rima.
I'm Jason.
And I'm Dave.
And this is Strange Indeed, a podcast dedicated to the show Lock and Key.
Today we're covering the fourth episode of season 3, entitled Deep Cover. And in honor of Bodhi today, I'm going to be just a total smartass and say mean things the whole time. And you guys are not going to suspect I'm a demon, because you would never think that.
No one was thinking it here. I know, in the show when they should have. It should have been called Shallow Cover.
I know. No cover.
Right.
Yeah. But the writers listened to us again. They had Tyler use the memory key. It wasn't in the first 5 minutes, but still pretty good. So
finally, I think it happened.
For our next episode, we should ask for them to send us $10 million through our screens. Thank you in advance.
My Venmo is...
Yeah, exactly.
I'll leave my PayPal and Venmo in the show notes. Yeah. So in general, I mean, it sounds like we're already kind of talking about our thoughts from the show, but who would like to go first this week about just general thoughts and overall feelings about the show? Me go first?
I'm just pointing at one of you guys.
I don't know who you're pointing at. Paik, you go first. I choose you.
Okay. Like a Pokemon. I did enjoy this episode from, again, comic book standpoint. We'll talk comics later. I've got some thoughts. And so it was fun to see this stuff played out, because I've been waiting since season one to see if they were going to do this storyline and see how well Jackson and Robert Scott would play it. And so it was fun to see it on screen. It is adapted a little differently, of course. They kind of have to, I think. And it is now like, okay, we've officially reached the halfway point of this final season. So there's still that little problem that's like affecting me a little bit, where I'm like, okay, we're halfway done and we still haven't gone anywhere with the actual Locks versus Demons plot. Like, we're going to wrap this up in 4 episodes now somehow. Mm-hmm. And so I am glad that Tyler's back on board. We've been waiting on that, so that's a good thing. But yeah, there's still really no ground laid for like, okay, what's the actual big face off? What's that actually going to look like?
Well,
I have no ideas.
I mean, we know now that Gideon wants to open a giant portal and bring the demon world through or something. So that is one big thing from this episode that's different. And it means higher stakes for the show than we've ever had before.
Definitely.
So there's that.
Yep.
But they're off. They're still in their separate camp making plans and not interacting at all.
Yeah. It's like, I feel like at that point there would be kind of like, okay, here's what's going to happen. We got to do it. And then like, but I guess, you know, 4 episodes is a lot to still play all a final face off. So yeah, I think they're at the point now where it's like, okay, we've reached the place where I'm glad we've got the story built up where it is. Now let's start. I want it to feel like we're at a climax and on the way back down, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Instead of just like heading up the roller coaster, right? Like the steep part, we're just like starting to go up that instead of at the top.
Hopefully this is the place where I can feel like, okay, time to raise my arms, right?
Yeah. Right.
Coaster crew.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jason, what about you?
It was fun. I liked it. I like Dodge possessed Bodhi. I think Jackson Robert Scott is very good, and that is crucial to making an episode like this work.
Yeah.
His performance, and I think he was fantastic. And but it was really dumb that no one figured it out sooner, which is typical of the show. They have to dumb the characters down to make the plot work. I wish they could figure out a way to make it good without doing that, but I still love all the other things about the show, and the feel of it is just so great. So yeah, I liked it.
Good. I liked it better than I did last week's. I know I was fairly negative about last week's episode, and my attitude really hasn't changed about it, but this was more of a fun episode, and it definitely, I think, got some things moving. And again, Jackson Robert Scott, I mean, he did a great job, you know, as Dodge. And I wonder what it was like if she was on set to kind of see how he was, you know, emulating that, because I think that would be, you know, fun and, you know, get a kick out of that to see, him pretending to be her.
Because I think especially when he was talking to Gideon, he was more emulating her mannerisms because he didn't need to even try to hide at all.
Yeah.
He did a really good job. So he's definitely a talented little kid, you know, and he was definitely sassy, you know, when he needed to be, and threatening, you know, when he needed to be. So
like when Rufus figured out who he was, and he just took a step or two towards Rufus, even though he's like half Rufus's height, it still seemed like he was very believable that he was dominant and Rufus was scared. And that was a great moment in this episode.
So I do like it better. There are a few things I still have issue with, which, you know, we'll talk about when we get into our points and stuff, but I did like it better, and I was thinking, wow, we've only, you know, we're at the halfway point, you know, we've only got four more to go, and it'll be interesting to see, you know, if they can stick the landing, I guess. So with that being said, let's go ahead and start with our top three. Paik, go ahead and kick us off.
All right.
Paik goes first twice in a row? Okay, fine.
Did he go first last
week? I don't even remember. I feel like Rima did last week.
Actually, I'm not sure.
I was going to say, you let him go, let him go first for general thoughts. So we'll stick to that.
It's been a week. Who knows? I don't remember things anymore.
I couldn't tell you at all what happened.
But I'll take it. My first one is actually super short and quick anyway, because really, it was like, after all my notes, I was like, I have two storylines I want to talk about. So let me just throw in something else as a quick first one, which you did mention a little bit, Jason. I just want to talk about Gideon and the little bit of stuff we got with him. Of course, no magical forest doors, so that's good. but I did like, while they were at the campsite, still there, just a little scene right at the very beginning of the episode. Bolton and Coffee are just marveling over modern guns. 6 rounds, you can load them up in seconds. Oh my god. I don't have to sit here and poke at it for 20 minutes. Nice.
I think I mentioned that last week. What if they had an AK-47? But he gets a little revolver, but even that's impressive. And it was a funny because the other guy's like looking at his crappy old gun going, "Arr."
Yeah, like, we don't need these anymore. Why do we even try to get these?
Totally.
Yeah, and then sitting there, and then of course Gideon has that look, which we've seen a couple of times. You know, realizes, oh, Dodge is here, somebody else is here, because we've seen that with demonic connections. The Wheeler sisters knew that Gideon was here, and then, you know, we even see later in this episode, Dodge find it as like, oh, somebody's nearby. It has this like demon sense, since the Spidey sense, this demon pathic connection.
I don't remember that ever happening before Gideon, though, and so I wonder if, unless I'm misremembering, but Gideon's clearly a powerful, like, special demon that everybody is like, "Ooh, it's you." So what I took from this is Gideon can sense any other demon, and any other demon can sense Gideon. You know what I mean? Because he's powerful, so they can tell and then he has a special power where he can sense any new one, and then any other demon, just because he's got such a big presence, would sense him, maybe.
Yeah, I don't know. Because we've never really seen any other, like, two demons inhabiting the same spot other than, like, Dodge/Gabe and Eden, but that was known. Like, they didn't really have to show them sensing each other because they knew each other around the beginning. I don't know. We did see what you mentioned. I was talking about finally the return, because they brought it up in the end of the first episode, and then that was it. And I was like, did they just? Are we not going to see this demon portal thing again? Like, what the importance of it? But we do see it here. again, and he needs more keys for it to really work. We get an explanation as he's talking to Dodge / Bodhi about, you know, the more keys that I have, the more I can open this. And then I assume the plan is opening this portal that, like, demons, either the world that they're in becomes the demon world, it kind of turns inside out, or that demons can kind of pour from that portal and enter mm-hmm. this world. Of course, the only form of demons outside of this world we've seen are the little whispering iron like bullets. So do the demons actually have another, like, form that we haven't seen yet or not? Right. I don't know. There's a lot about the demon world that we still have no clue mm-hmm. on and no idea. Like, they haven't given us a lot of that story.
Yeah, like, it's just going to be a bunch of demon bullets whizzing.
Right. Yeah, because he said, you know, with all the keys, I'll be able to fully draw our world across the barrier to this one. So mm-hmm. that sounds like, oh, that's what he wants to do. And then it's like, wait, what does he want to do? Like, is that a special environment that if it seeps through a big portal and infects our environment and turns our environment into that environment, then yeah, like, maybe there's big monsters that are the demons or something that can go around now.
Yeah. So I don't know. But I'm sure we will find out.
I guess. Yeah. I hope.
And then
I was wondering like, why, what, I don't know exactly what he means by that, but if you just want to turn our world into that, then just go home. 'Cause it's already there. But maybe he wants to terrorize our world, or, you know, somehow exploit it.
Right. It's almost like this vengeance thing where
yeah.
he has this thing against the locks for,
he's got a chip on his shoulder
for abusing and misusing his world for their own like. So maybe it's kind of this vengeance yeah. of like, well, then I can do the same.
And I think you're so, right. Yeah. I think yeah. that's totally it. Yeah.
Yeah. And
that makes sense.
Really, the only other thing that kind of left me was just kind of question, because we see, and I mean, I'm sure we'll talk about it more from the other side, but the conversation between Gideon and Dodge, really, here, where Dodge kind of does seem submissive and eager to just follow Gideon as a leader, but then also I think there's more to that. I think maybe Dodge is a lot of, you know, self-power to themselves also. So, and then I was like, we have a point where, like, is Dodge going to be Gideon's Eden, if that makes sense.
Yeah. We've already seen these guys can't trust each other at all.
Right.
And so, yeah, he offers for Dodge to be his right hand in the new mm-hmm. world. And I predict betrayal.
Right.
From one to the other, one way, one direction to the other.
See Dodge right. being anyone's right yeah, hand exactly. person at all. I think she's just kind of going along with it for
to
the moment,
out because how that's to get what the suits. Upper hands.
Yeah, yeah, and how to get the keys and right. Yeah, and until it suits her.
Yeah.
Even when he said it, so. Dodge as Bodhi is like, all right.
Sure.
Sure. Yeah. That sounds
and then funny. I wonder yeah. then if Dodge is in Gideon's service in quotations. I mean, does he have use for Bolton and Coffee anymore? Does he get rid of them? Or does he keep them around? I guess loyalty in any form is good to have, whether it serves you in that moment or not, because he really only had them because they can take keys from the locks.
Yeah.
But then, as we see here, Dodge has found out and told Gideon that in the form of Bodhi, that's not a barrier, like an issue anymore. So,
mm-hmm. yeah, I don't know. Could see that going either way. I don't think loyalty is important to the demons.
Right.
They'll kill you if they feel like it.
Mm-hmm.
But I could be wrong. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's really just, yeah, the number 3/ first point, whatever we're doing. We may never figure it out. No. but yeah, it's just kind of Gideon. And we did, like you did, yeah, we do get a little bit more of the master plan, even if it's not fully spelled out yet. Kind of get an idea of what he's going for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I think what's clear from what I can see is that the fate of the world is at stake. You know, all of humanity.
Yeah.
Because if you're going to draw the demon world across our world, it doesn't sound like they're going to just be living, you know, peacefully and getting jobs at McDonald's or something.
Maybe take a preacher.
I don't know. It's hard now with Dodge back in the picture. It's hard to see Gideon as like the big bad. He's almost like second tier, you know, threat for me at this point, with Dodge back. So it'll be interesting to see how it plays out, maybe it'll be more of a showdown between those two than it will be with the Locks.
I bet.
It comes down to it. Who knows?
Yeah.
But
I think, I mean, I think Gideon is more powerful, but Dodge may be more clever and figure out how to one up Gideon anyway.
You know? She's more like world worthy, I guess. He's still pretty new to this world, and she's been around for a long time, I think. And disguised herself and kind of blended. Yeah, so I think she's got some street smarts on her side, and she's very clever. So I don't know. We'll see. Jason, what about you?
My number one is, that sounds like something a demon would say. Which is what one
maybe
of the, any of the characters should have said in several different moments, in my opinion. So, as I said, it was really fun watching Bodhi be such a dick in this episode. It was kind of shocking to hear some of those things come not only from a little kid, but from a kid we know to be a sweetheart usually. And so you would think that these people would get suspicious. So some examples of Bodhi slash Dodge's behavior. He was hungry like Dodge in season one, and Eden too, when Eden first got possessed. But I don't know if anybody else saw that, so maybe they wouldn't be suspicious of that. But he takes all the pancakes when Kinsey sits down. Take them
first
all.
First.
He slaps the cup out of his mom's hands. He's giving dirty looks to everybody. He lies that it's conference day at school and kids are supposed to stay home. Nina says, look, there's Josh and Jamie. Oh, how thrilling for all of us. And then Josh says, hey, cool kicks, Bodhi. Very old school. You would know, dinosaur. When he, this kid, this was pretty vicious. That kid bumped into him and said sarcastically, oops, sorry. And he slams him against the door, breaking the glass. Listen here, shit stain, do that again and I'll rip out your entrails. And then just walks away from Jamie, who he'd been talking to. That was intense. When Tyler said, hey, Bodhi, this is Carly. She's visiting me from Montana. Way to go, Tyler, you sly dog. You always were into brunettes, which I think is a comment on Jackie, which is fucked up to remind him of that. And also about him when he was her in the truck.
Yeah, when he was Dodge. Yeah, because they hooked up.
One of my favorites was when he was by himself looking at Bodhi's shirt with a rocket and it said level up with an exclamation point. And he goes, God, this kid is such a nerd, which I thought must have been fun for Jackson Robert Scott to deliver that line. The dinner scene, I felt very uncomfortable. Already a boyfriend trying to bond with his girlfriend's son is awkward enough, but now he's possessed by a demon and it was painful to watch. Bodhi, your mom tells me you're into Legos. I was something of a master when I was in high school. Wow, you must have had an active social life. Abby spilled some Sprite on the floor in the basement, and he's like, I'll clean it up. And then as soon as she leaves, he just doesn't bother with it, I don't think. Then Doug, like, he's like, so to Doug, you used a bunch of keys to make the movie, right? Doug's like, yeah, like, you don't know that. And I'm like, dude, think, Doug. Why would he say that? Why would he not know? And then Bodhi's even like, tell me where the keys are. Tell me, think a little harder. And Doug's like, oh, I gotta go. Peace out, dude.
This isn't strange at all.
Just dumb kid. And then, wow, when Bodhi said to Kinsey, ever since Tyler left you and you've been in charge, things have really gone to shit. No wonder he wants to leave again so badly. And I'm like, that sounds like something a demon would say. And she's like, get out of my room. So I would say, I was thinking it was kind of foolish of Dodge to act so snotty if she doesn't want to be found out. But it doesn't seem to matter how snotty she acts.
Right. It kind of helps, yeah, that we mentioned that last week, too, that Bodhi's going through this kind of emotional,
I guess,
thing,
yeah,
of having this issue with Nina and Josh. And so he's kind of lashed out in
that's true
much milder ways, but still he has been kind of lashing out. So
it maybe can they be could think that, like, he's just getting worse.
Yeah. He's like, he's spiraling pretty quick, isn't he?
Yeah. You know? That's a good point, but still, but yeah. So then Rufus figures out, cause Bodhi mentions that you know, Dodge kept the keys under the floorboards, and that was a cool moment. You know, Rufus tries to trick him. Remember when you came to visit me in Minnesota? Don't you mean Nebraska? Are you trying to trick me? Just the way that Jackson Robert Scott played that,
yeah,
kind of subtle, but still just seems so intimidating,
quietly threatening, yeah.
Yeah, and then Rufus says, "You're not Bodie," and like I said, Bodie moves towards him and then kicked him, and his knees buckled, and Bodie grabs his throat, "You stupid idiot!" And then Nina comes in, and Bodie's like, he attacked me. And then I'm like, that sounds like something a demon would say. Then Ellie asked Rufus what happened. He didn't want to say because Bodhi threatened to kill her if he told. Then at the end, when Nina finds Dodge's body under the bed and Bodhi walks in, "What are you doing in my room?" I'm like, scene one next week. Bodhi, you're grounded. What are you doing with bodies under your bed?
Told you not to do that.
Some explaining to do, young man.
Yeah, exactly. I loved when Dodge Bodhi went out to talk to Ghost Bodhi and said, "If you try and send any more messages, I'll kill your whole family." That just, I don't know for sure, but that feels like it came right out of the comic. It felt very much like the comic,
yeah.
That brutality of that line. As I said, I felt like he had some of Dodge's mannerisms at times, which is great. And I wondered if they gave him a little mascara to look a little more Dodge-like, which in the comics, I think anytime anyone was possessed by Dodge, their eyes had this dark mascara-like lines around it. But I don't know. I could have just been imagining that. That was all my favorite part, even though I was feeling critical that they didn't at least suspect something was going on. I still enjoyed watching it.
It's fun to watch him play that role. Yeah.
And it was at times very like tense and even scary, which is cool.
Agreed. Well, I'll switch my numbers because Dodge as Bodhi was one of my points as well. So, I mean, I agree. I'll go through my notes here and see. I don't want to repeat what you said, but I did think it was kind of odd that, you know, when Dodge was Gabe, you know, she went pretty hard to hide the fact of her true identity. But, you know, like you said, Jason, it's kind of like she's not trying so hard to hide it. She's just... Yeah. Being an ass and being super sarcastic and how would she know? I mean, I think it's a little bit more of a risk on her part because I don't think she knows that Bodhi's been emotional. He's been, you know, kind of snappy. He's been disagreeing with his mom and kind of acting out, and he's been acting out with Kinsey and, you know, kind of all this behavior that we've seen of him from season three. She doesn't know about any of that. So it seems like it's even a bigger risk that she would, you know, not even try to hide that, you know, that she's not trying to blend a little bit better.
And the reason for that, I'm pretty sure, is all about the storytelling. Because when Gabe was Dodge, we didn't know that. And so they wanted to hide it from us and then spring it on us as a surprise. But now that Bodhi's Dodge, we do know it. So they feel like it's going to be more entertaining if he acts like a dick, which they were right, but then it's lack of consistency within the world of the story, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was funny. I enjoyed, as I said in the beginning, you know, his performance and thought he did it very well. I was, you know, his one-liners were really funny. I thought he could be pretty menacing. It was kind of disturbing to hear some of the things he was saying out of this little kid's voice, you know? And I was just like, oh God, that's not right. That's not our Bodhi. And I know it's not, but you know, it's just, it was weird to hear those kinds of phrases or words when he's threatening, "I'll kill your family." And I'm like, oh my God.
You know, even like, I don't think we've ever heard Bodhi curse.
Yeah. Before. Cursed a couple times.
Like, with the exception of his aloha.
Right.
He
flipped people
off a lot, but the nonverbal.
Right.
But I also did definitely have issue, you know, I'm like, why aren't you guys picking up on this? And maybe I had more faith in people than maybe what I should have. I mean, they live in a world where people get possessed, and they know also that there's a key that can change your identity. I know that's not what happened here, but those two things can happen. There's a yeah. key that can change your identity.
They've had experience people with people possessed. Not being who they really were pretending to be right. more yes. than once.
They kept saying, gosh, he's not acting like himself. Yeah. Gosh, what's wrong with him?
He keeps asking about the like keys.
yeah, and it's like, well, hello, is anybody asking, like, whoa, we know Bodhi's been acting a little strange, but he really seems to be going overboard. Maybe we should, like, dig into this a little deeper. No, everyone's just like, oh, Bodhi's just being a little turd, you know, because that's just how he's been. So, you know, they're just like, oh, he's just going through puberty. He's just grumpy, you know, whatever. He's acting out because he doesn't want his mom to date. I mean, some of that's pretty beyond. And, you know, Jamie's like, Bodhi, what's wrong with you? And he's like, what's wrong that's with you? And I'm like, exactly. Yeah. What is wrong with you? Why aren't you guys questioning?
Plus, he's asking like, about the keys all the time, too.
Right. Yes.
That's another clue.
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah. that's usual, right? Any little boy, when they go through puberty, is usually kind of snarky and mean and threatens to kill people's families.
Right.
And just obsessed with keys. That's usually right. how it goes, right?
And or just yeah. looking for any really powerful weapon.
Yeah.
right. So it was definitely entertaining. However, you know, I am just kind of screaming like, oh, come on. But, you know, then we wouldn't have had all the fun lines and entertainment that we got.
That's been a flaw with this show all the way through. And I think we overlooked it some in seasons one and two, but maybe it's kind of a cumulative effect. Or also, maybe it's a little worse than it has been before. And two, you know, once we finish a season, then we can go look what everyone else thinks. And if you read the Reddit threads from season one, it's like, these people are so dumb sometimes, you know?
yeah. Well, okay. Paik, what's your next one?
You know, I might as well just stay on that same ride. I had it officially as my, like, number one / final point, but... Since we're talking okay. about it, and I have so many notes about it that,
all right,
yeah, I can do the same thing. I was like, let's see what hasn't been said that I can add on to evil Bodhi, which yeah, we saw that Dodge isn't having the easiest time being Bodhi, which is weird because you brought that up that as Gabe was very undercover, so why is it like dodginess is coming out a lot more here? Mm-hmm. Again, we talked about like maybe it fits a little bit with this puberty thing, but it's still. A little more extreme than that.
Mm. It's just because they thought that would be more entertaining. Mm-hmm. But as far as, yeah, in the story, I don't know.
Yeah. And Dodge is like playing catch up because what the world that Dodge knows as of right now is before they traveled to this future time for them was more of like, this is the time when Gabe, you know, Dodge Gabe was trying to figure out how to do the demon key, how to make the demon key. And he had just realized, I need a lock. I need Bodhi / Duncan. I need one of them to like, I need to force him to make the key. That's the mindset that this Dodge is in right here. And now.
Oh yeah. So then it's weird because he sees the alpha key in the notebook and goes, that's how he did it. And I'm like, I guess he must have found out that he was successful in making the demon key.
Yeah, there's another scene when yeah. Bodhi's there watching the movie with them and overhears when Carly mentions there's a scene in the splattering too. It's like, and then you had this army of demonic crustaceans that overrun the town.
Oh, yeah.
And Doug's like, yeah, have you ever heard of art imitating life? We've been through some shit. And I think then he goes, got so it, yeah. it did work, but then they, you know,
right. He's learning what happened.
Yeah. So just kind of playing catch up, even at the mm-hmm. beginning where you can see that Dodge is kind of caught off guard or not expecting. He's like, wait, so Nina remembers magic, but now Tyler doesn't.
And Tyler,
like, man, things really have changed. Huh? Yeah.
Yeah. That was all funny. That was a funny scene.
Yeah. And then
yeah. It's like, he stopped watching the show halfway through and then
right?
jump back in.
What happened? Yeah. The ghost Bodhi freezing the mug we talked about, which is the same trick that Sam used last season to get Kenzie's attention.
I forgot. I was like, what that? What is that? That's something. Yeah. And then you saw a ghost Bodhi. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which then you dodge yeah, stops that, threatens Bodhi killing the whole family, which, yeah, sounds very dodgy. and then realizing that in Bodhi's body, Dodge can take the keys from another lock, that obstacle doesn't exist anymore because it's not changing the identity and it's not the same form, just looking different, but it's literally possessing the body of a lock. So the physical abilities of the lock are still there, which is interesting.
And I was thinking, so Kinsey tells Bodhi, you need to be more careful with these keys. This ghost key was just in the door. Mm-hmm. And my first thought was, well, she actually has a point. Like Bodhi Dodd should have taken the key out. But then I thought, oh, well, I think the rule was that even if a lock isn't holding a key, if they were the last one to possess it, then it's still considered under their possession. So demons can't take it. I think that's what was said.
Maybe.
So maybe he just figured he couldn't. But then she's sitting there offering it to him and he takes it. I'll just take it. And then he figures, yeah, I'll try, which that was kind of a risk because what if he couldn't? It would have been found out. But then, so that's how, I mean, clearly the way they intended the story to go was that's how he figured out that now that he's in this body, he can take keys from locks. Because in the very next thing, he's like, okay, now I'm going to start looking for all the other keys. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, she was handing it to him and locks can give keys to demons. So I don't know if that counts, you know.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So I don't know.
And then you talked about sounds like what a demon would say is what your point. I like that because there's just so many, but instead it's just full of, this whole episode's full of family members saying things like, you know, oh, that's not like him. He's usually not like this. He's funny. Of course then the kid, you mentioned a lot of those like little, you know, moments of intensity, which is cool, you know. And Jamie's concerned and confused about his behavior the whole episode too. And then I kept trying to find different ways of typing out the character. I was like Dodge/Bodhi. I was like, I'm getting tired of typing that. And I was like, Bodge, Dodhi, Boge, Dodgy Bodgy. I was like, I don't know. Just different names. But yeah,
my mom used to have a friend named Dodhi. She was really cool.
I did like the scene of Dodge looking through Bodhi's clothes and just being appalled, deciding that, yeah, we're going to step this kid's style up a little bit. Dodge always has style and it plays into the whole, you know, darker version of a character dressing in all black and being more broody, but I kind of like it. It still works.
I liked it.
Yeah. Hiding the female Dodge body. I was wondering, like, yeah, it's going to have to start with the hiding the body. Well, it didn't start that way, but then we see, yeah, he definitely did hide the body under his bed, which then made me wonder, like, does a body that's doesn't have a soul or spirit or whatever there it is, because it's not dead, it's just uninhabited. It's like, does that body rot or decay or smell or... Yeah. What are the rules? I don't think we'll ever find that out. But it's like, but I don't know how that works. It's not a dead body, like, but it's also like,
it'd be pretty hard to hide it for too long if it does start to decompose. I don't know.
Yeah, and then if he wants to go back into that body, it's all like, this is a zombie.
Zombie body.
And then, going to town on breakfast and on the chips at the Mexican restaurant. Because remember, Dodge has always been very fond of human food.
I
feel like that's not demon behavior because I scarf those chips. Right? Like, I have never eaten in my life.
Oh, so. And then a big burrito comes and you're like, oh.
I'm not hungry.
All of the chips and salsa. I can't stop myself.
In fact, I'm hungry right now.
And then sensing Gideon and going out to talk to him. And then as he's walking through the kitchen, I was like, Matheson has lucha wrestling shows. I want to go because there's an ad on the wall in the kitchen there. And I was like, oh, that's fun. then the artist Bodhi, formerly known as Dodge. There. I like that one.
there you go. You found it.
It talks to Gideon and we've seen that Dodge does seem a little scared and has to compose himself because he's walking across that bridge, whatever, and sees Gideon. And then once there's like that feeling of like, oh, I know what demon that is. He stops and like, then walks in. And so it's like, okay, so there is definitely a power dynamic there between those two that even Dodge has to compose himself and be like, oh, it's you, you're here. And then I don't think he's just going to fall in line and be a lapdog though. No, Dodge is going to, I think we talked about that. I was like, yeah, I don't see that happening. But gets the notebook back from Gideon, goes back to the mending cabinet, and is like, yeah, way to go, Captain. You know, you're in great intel. Yeah, because they have moved
old
the keys.
Old information.
And then, you know, goes through the notebook and is looking through it and finds out what the alpha key, which then if Dodge figures, you know, knows what the alpha key does, wouldn't that be like the first one? Which, that's then it starts asking, where's the alpha key? And what's the alpha
why?
Key? That seems like a good first one to take before anybody catches on to you, because they're going to use it on you, you know, or you can
use it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Think about that.
Prevent. Yeah, that's good. I didn't think of that. I was thinking more of, you know, they could use that against Gideon, but also if it's in your position, no one
if he's
can
doing a really
it.
Bad job of hiding that he's Dodge, well, at least if you get the alpha key out of the way first, then
well, the thing
safer
is,
against them if they don't have that.
The alpha key is meant to expel a demon from a person's body. Yeah. But what if you're a demon in a ghost form possessing another body? It might work on you. Maybe. Still.
I don't know. Yeah.
I don't know. It killed everyone else. Yeah, so I don't know what it
could. It now I'm thinking, would it work the same way? I mean, they'd have to figure out that'd be a risk, but the reason it killed Jackie is because Jackie's soul was still in there. And so it kind of, the soul had been taken over.
But,
so when you pull the demon
soul
out,
is outside.
It was connected. So it's like ripping it out. So, I mean, it still kills the soul, but with Bodhi, his soul, his spirit, whatever, is not even in there. So if you kill the demon within there, then is it just an empty vessel and then Bodhi can float right back in?
He can just pop right back in.
Yeah. I don't know. His Bodhi's not there at all. And then we've kind of heard apparently that the others are still in there. So, it would be different maybe.
That's the thing with all these keys. Of course, we're going to have a lot of discussions about how they work together and stuff. It's kind of fun. I enjoy it. Mm-hmm. But there's so many keys.
Yeah, and you talked about his strange intensity with Doug, that Doug just like totally doesn't mind. He's like, okay, cool. While Bodhi's looking for the alpha key in Kinsey's room and then sees that the notebook's still there and is like, well, I thought that they stole it. He's like, oh, funny, I just left it in my backpack and totally forgot. She goes, what's going on with you? You're usually more careful with this stuff. And I was like, I had that like Chris Hemsworth Thor moment, like, is he though?
Is he Kinsey?
Yeah.
Are any of you?
Let's see. And then, you talked about Bodhi and Rufus with that little scene, which was fun. Again, Rufus catching on and be like, you know, maybe it's hidden where Dodge used to hide it. It's like, I never told you that. It's like, yeah, you did. You just forgot. And I'm thinking, it's probably kind of the superpower of Rufus being autistic is the fact that he's probably got like a steel trap of a memory. He was like, no, I can assuredly tell you I did not tell you that.
And you know? A steel trap of a memory, and maybe you can tell me if this is right, but I also think I know what I would do and what I wouldn't do.
Right.
And I that's classified, you know, or something like that.
Yeah. And then I did think for a second Bodhi really was going to crush Rufus with that piano because of reasons we'll talk about later. But luckily he didn't. And then Nina and Ellie run in and he turns on Rufus saying, he attacked me, he had this like meltdown, attacked me, some kind of tantrum. And then of course Rufus doesn't say anything because his mom and Nina have both been threatened. Nina's not fully buying it. And then I wonder, in that scene, the last time that Dodge was alive or whatever in that timeline, was Ellie already back? Did Dodge ever know that Ellie came back? Or is this like when Ellie comes running into that room, would that be super confusing and weird for Dodge to be like, I banished you to the other dimension. What the hell are you doing here? I don't remember if Dodge ever knew that Ellie came back before she was killed in season two.
If Dodge knew that Ellie came back, no, Ellie came back.
Yeah, I think it was after, right?
Yeah, Ellie came back this
whenever.
I don't remember.
Eden kind of collapsed Gabe. Was it Gabe that collapsed the
ceiling in the cave?
The ceiling in the cave. Either way, but then they didn't see Ellie come out. It's like, did they ever find out that Ellie came out before the showdown on the Cliff House? I don't remember.
Yeah, I don't think so, but my memory's not great. I didn't do a rewatch before the season, so it's not fresh in my head at all.
Yeah. Because we know Ellie saw Lucas, but Lucas was not possessed at that point. So right. Yeah.
So I don't remember, because I was thinking, you know, Ellie comes in running into the room. If Dodge didn't know that Ellie was alive, which I guess wouldn't, because this was that before. I have to remember the timeline of season two, because again, this Dodge is from when, right before the Demon Key was made. So probably didn't know about Ellie being back.
Right.
So that would just be kind of confusing. Then Dodge did a good job of composing. So I'm like, yep, Ellie's back. That's totally normal play along. then, of course, Dodge pulling the... Because as Bodhi, living Bodhi's life for this day, has put the pieces together that Bodhi would be a little off about Josh and Nina, so uses that card of the, I miss my dad and I don't want you to replace him with Josh. Which then Nina, it was a decent play. Nina, of course, like being like, oh, I understand that, but you still have to, you know, you're responsible for your actions. And that line's like, you're not a little kid anymore. I'm like, oh, if only you knew. He's not a kid anymore. He's not human anymore, but you know. and then, yeah, we kind of talked about where we see the ending of this episode is finding out where all the keys are. It just happens to be hiding out when Kinsey goes to get the memory key from the Harlequin chest and then walks in on Nina after that, after Nina finds the Dodge body under the bed. So, yeah, things are...
I bet you... Well, things you think are ended she'll on, like, figure kind of out immediately that he's possessed?
I don't know. That's. I am curious to see how it starts. Like, what is Nina's reaction to finding that, and then Bodhi coming in and being like, "What are you doing in my room?" Because
yeah, it's like, grounded.
Does Nina put that together? Those pieces together as quick as maybe Tyler or Kinsey would?
I would hope so. For crying out loud. But you never know.
Yeah,
I think it was hard for me when Bodhi Dodge was so threatening to Rufus. I get that he was probably kind of fearful and freaked out because he's like, you're not Bodhi. So he obviously probably was scared, but he was in his, you know, he was human. He Dodge did not have any of his demon superpowers, and he's this little kid. Rufus towers over Bodhi, and I feel like, you know, it was weird to see him overpowering him so much and just like tossing him around the room. And then when he's like, if you say anything, I'll kill them both. And it's like, they're three adult people against this little kid. You know, I feel like it was just like, why wouldn't you say something? Or, you know, because I don't know. It was just hard to. Yeah, but they could restrain him or hold him. I mean, he didn't have any special powers or anything in that form as Bodhi. So
I feel like he might still have some demon strength behind him, but like his body's not as indestructible.
I mean, also, it's a demon. Like, you don't know. You don't know what they can or can't do.
I mean, he could just like,
I don't know. I would have tried it anyway.
They wouldn't expect this kid to just jump up on him and start slashing throats. And so if he wanted to do that, they'd catch him off guard. So I don't know.
I mean, I understand what you're saying, but I can also, I don't think that's bad writing. I think I can also understand Rufus being kind of freaked out, like not knowing what to do, you know?
Yeah. I mean, what he's been through with Dodge in the past, I'm sure any threat from the same entity is going to hold water.
Sure. Jason, what's your next point?
Oh, well, we haven't talked about Tyler. Should we talk about Tyler and Carly or Tyler remembering magic? Which one?
You're up. Your choice.
Either, because that's like my last point is just both of those together. So whichever way you choose, we'll talk about it all.
Yeah, we'll talk about it all. All right, let's talk about Tyler and Carly. So Carly shows up just as Tyler was thinking about Jackie, which I think is to remind us that he's in that transitional space. He's maybe not ready for something new. But they also then showed us very quickly that he does like Carly, like, you know, when she pretended like she wasn't going to go in the house. Nah, I'm just going to go home, which I thought was kind of fun and cute, actually.
A similar sarcastic, like, sense of humor.
Yeah.
To him.
And then she's like, of course I'm going to go in. And she walks in and he smiles like he's happy that she's there. And when she chastised him for not having written back when she texted checking on him, cause he didn't come back to work, you know, he was only supposed to be gone one day, but he's gone longer. I'm like, yeah, you're right. He should have written back, man. This guy's horrible at texting.
Doesn't take long.
I think you're dead, dude. Jeez. Just give a little thumbs up or something. The way that the Carly, I'm just spouting out random things here, but the way the Carly actress played it, I thought she was a little forward at one point where Kinsey's like, are you staying with us? And she's like, oh, I think I can find a hotel. And Tyler's like, don't be stupid. Of course you're staying with us. And she goes, really? You don't mind? And he goes, I mean, we have so many extra rooms. And she looks kind of taken aback at that. Right. Cool. I'm like, did you think you were going to be sleeping in Tyler's room? You're not even going out. I mean, I it would have been worse if he'd said, yeah, you can sleep with me, baby. I mean, I don't know. So then they mention that they're going to Bill's Chowder. And I think there was a moment there because Kinsey knows that Tyler and Jackie used to kind of playfully argue over which chowder place was better, and
the Bill's
yeah
thing comes back. I do like that.
Yeah. And then later Tyler looks like he wants Carly to kiss him and she moves in and then he moves away and I'm like, oh, awkward, but he's just struggling and he likes her, but he's not quite ready. And she doesn't believe that. I mean, it's hard for her to believe that it doesn't have anything to do with her, which is understandable. But then so that he tells her that he had a girlfriend who died. And that's when we learn. I mean, no, I think we already knew this, but I forgot that he thinks she had an aneurysm, mm-hmm. which is an abnormal bulge or ballooning in the wall of a blood vessel. And I think usually when you talk about aneurysms, it's a blood. It's in the brain, right?
It's not to get too personal, but yeah, I had a friend of mine die from an aneurysm. Like 2 years ago, I think maybe. And it was one of those things where it's like, you just like get a call or a text and it's like, yeah, they're like,
oh my God,
you know, she was fine one day. And then the next, it's like, it just comes out of nowhere. So it is, it's horrible. One of those things where it's like, yeah, nobody saw it coming. Nobody expected it. It just happens, which is a scary thought. And I try not to dwell on much. So thank God.
I'm sorry.
Glad to put that in everybody else's head, but yeah, no, it is.
That's terrible.
That's horrible. And so that's, he thinks that he was with her, she had an aneurysm. So I guess like magical happenings are rearranged in adults' memories to look like something real world version of it. So undemoning becomes an aneurysm. Yeah, that's a bummer pick. But so then it makes more sense why he stayed away from Matheson once he forgot magic, because I mean, he says, being here, I just couldn't take it. Everything reminded me of her. So it's still kind of the same reason, but maybe less to do with all the bullshit that happened because of these damn keys and more just like, I lost my girlfriend. And so, Carly's leaving and Tyler decides to stay and help resolve things, which I was glad to see. I'm glad when he cares about his family, but then he kisses her and she said, see, I knew it would be good. And then I'm like, well, was that a goodbye kiss? I don't know. I would suspect that he'll go back to Montana at the end of the series. That's what I think is going to happen. I don't think that's like the end of Carly.
Yeah, I would hope. Just again, just on the outside of all of the other story, I'm like, hey, they seem good together. That's that similar sarcastic humor, and I was like, yeah.
I just,
if you're not on it, Tyler, I'm going to take fictional character, not whether or not.
I feel like the storytelling with them has been a little thin or something, because I'm not completely buying it. But if I just say, don't be such a curmudgeon, it's fine, then I'm like, okay, fine. I don't know. So that's all I had about those two.
Well, I'll add my two cents about Carly. And mostly just her. Now, I don't have issue with them together and how they seem to be bonding and getting to know each other a little bit more. I'm outside of Montana, but I don't know. I don't know what kind of weirdo shows up on your door after you turn them down for a date.
Definitely a demon.
And,
yeah, it's totally something a demon would do.
I mean, I don't know. It's just weird. Yeah, but she drove from Montana.
Montana to Massachusetts is quite a haul.
It's almost the entire length of the country.
Really aggressive with him. I said before, she's like, why don't you come into my house after their date where he seems sort of, you know, clearly not comfortable. Come into my house.
Well, yeah, I mean, this was a little stalker-ish. Yeah. I mean, and how does she even know where he lives? Like, she just showed up on his doorstep? How did she find that out? Because even if she got his address from work, wouldn't it have, like, his, whatever his Montana address was, like, wherever, I don't know. We didn't really get to see where he was staying. We got a very short snippet of his time in Montana. But it's like, even if she was able to somehow, which is still a creepy factor, if, you know, she somehow was able to even find that out. But if she did go try to find out his address from there, it would only have his Montana address. So how the hell did she know?
There's the deleted
where
scene.
To go?
She gets to Matheson and is just walking around to everybody. Do you know where this guy lives? Do you know where this guy lives?
Yeah. I mean, regardless of how she did it, it's just such creepy behavior. So I don't know. I'm still, you know, I mean, I don't know if she's a demon or not, I don't know, but it's just weird. And
you can't trust anybody on this show, but
you're totally right.
I didn't even think about it too hard because they kind of brushed it off. She's like, don't you dare make me out to be crazy or whatever. And I'm like, okay, I totally buy that. But now that you're bringing it up, you're right.
Yeah, it's just like, oh, well, I, you know, some flimsy excuse of, and I can't remember her exact words, but, you know, I get worried about
because he didn't text her back.
Yeah, because he didn't text her back. And I'm like, oh, well, who are you, though? You were someone he's known for a couple of months.
His coworker.
Yeah. And I mean, yeah, was it kind of a crappy thing? I mean, Tyler seems to have this habit because he wasn't talking to his family either. Right. He wasn't texting them back and wasn't responding. So clearly he's just a shitty texter. So, I mean, was that a nice thing? No. But does that mean she jumps in her car for someone she's barely known for, you know, a couple of months that he's been away and drives across the country? And how do you know where he lives? And how do you find that information out? And then you're just like, okay, you know, sure, come on in, you know. I don't know, just strange behavior. I would have had a restraining order on someone.
Now that you mentioned all this, I am hoping that you're right, that she's not everything she's seen, because I've just, I don't know why, been with this show just taking it for granted that she's everything that she seems to be. But now I kind of hope she isn't, because it would be more interesting than what we've gotten so far. Although that would be pretty sad for poor Tyler, who does seem to like her.
It would be sad for Tyler. He definitely went through a lot with Jackie, and he's clearly, you know, trying to heal from that. And it would be another devastating blow if he
just keeps hooking up with demons.
Yeah,
he has a type.
He does have a type.
Brunette demons.
Brunette demons. I guess I don't know, but yeah, I mean, I would feel really bad for him, and that's not the way I want it to go or anything. But it's just too weird. And if they're trying to, you know, like real life, kind of, which again, I don't know why I'm trying to apply. It's a, you know, fantasy show with magic and magical keys and stuff. But I don't know, that it's just a little too much for me to you know, be like, oh yeah, that's okay. That's okay. That's okay behavior. And that's totally normal. Hell no. So anyway, that was my problem with Carly. So Paik, what's your next point?
All right. Well, that, because it's like, is it an episode of Lock and Key? I don't have a point about Tyler.
Yeah.
But let's see if there's anything that hasn't already been covered. So it's probably just a couple of little things. Again, yeah, I'm just going to turn around and drive back now. Love the humor. And then him playing off of that, you know, when Kenzie walks in and it's like, you know, oh yeah, I'm Carly from Montana, because I'm sure he's told you all about it. And Kenzie's just like blank face, like, is that supposed to mean something? And she's like, oh, so you didn't tell anyone about me? Cool. And I like Tyler's, I just knew that I couldn't convey the full extent of your splendor. And she's like, just stop digging. You're already in a hole, which I liked. Yeah, the Bills versus Phil's Chowder. I like Kenzie and Carly's interactions. They're really small, but it's just like, sister approved. Okay, that's good.
Yeah, she was really welcoming, so it was nice.
Yeah.
I did, although it ends up going the complete opposite way and ending with Tyler getting his memories back at the end. There was a moment, though, after Kenzie meets Carly for the first time and she sees Tyler's interactions with Carly, and when they walk off, Kenzie kind of stops and shares this look at them walking away, as in, like, it's the first time Kenzie's finally been like, this is the life that Tyler wants without magic. This is why we made that decision to keep him away from it, is because he could be happy with this.
Which is why I do still think it's very possible that Carly is everything she seems to be, and that he'll go off and be with her at the end of this.
But yeah, the Jackie stuff comes back up. So even though it seems like, oh, this could be perfectly happy, the dark stuff is still pretty deeply seated in there. And then, of course, then his rough, you know, relationship with Kenzie right now, because he just feels pushed away and feels locked out. No pun intended. yeah, it is what pushes him back to go and talk to Kenzie. And it's also when he's talking with Carly on their little hike, where he's a little cold to her because she's pushing back after her conversation with Kenzie. She's like, you need to work harder. You need to try harder to reconnect with your family. They truly do love you. You've made it seem like your family has pushed you away, but really it's you that's pushing them away, and they just want to be here for you. And I like where he even says, like, I think she's just giving you some space to figure out your own shit, which is exactly what's happening. He's just not fully understanding that.
So that was good. I liked that Carly encouraged him to, if he wanted to connect, to go over and actually try.
Right. It's on you also. You know, you have to do something too, which is good. And that's, so between that and then the Jackie stuff kind of coming back to him, it's so it pushes him to really try to connect back with Kenzie. And it's funny that he's just very, just like, well, you chose to forget things. And he's like, block memories out of my head. It's like, I don't know how I did that, but if I did that, reverse it, please. Let's, you know, however that works. Which is interesting because, you know, she explains it's a hard place. Like, you made me promise that you can move on from that stuff and I don't push it. But he does say in his own words, he's like, well, whatever choice I made, I hate it. So let's cut that out. I want all of these memories back. And with her, with him saying that, she takes that as a, okay, well then let's go for it. And so it did take a while to get there, half the season, 4 episodes, but finally we end this episode with Tyler's got all his memories back. He's back to the Tyler we've known. So I'm glad, because I think, yeah, the world stakes that we've kind of decided really are here with Gideon. Gonna need all locks on deck.
I just thought it would have been funny if, you know, he's like, I want to know. And she's like, okay, I need to show you. I can't tell you. Okay, then show me. So then she turns the key and he's like, oh my God, no, never mind. I want to forget. So they make another key to let you forget. And they do that. And then he's like, why are you guys shutting me out?
I thought I told you I didn't want to remember.
Yeah. Make up your flipping mind.
I could see how that would be an issue, because if you're like, these memories are too painful, but then when you don't have the memories and you just notice that everybody seems to be in on something that you're not, then you're like, why am I not being included? Just keep going back and forth.
Right.
A key in each side. Flip this way, this way. This,
just turn your memories off and on. Memories off and on.
Yeah. Tyler was my last point too. And I don't know that
we... Do I get to go?
Oh, yes. Sorry. Okay. I'm sorry.
Just curious.
It's you.
Tyler too. Wasn't that like a political slogan? Tipper Canoe and Tyler too? I don't know. Tyler insists that Kenzie tell her everything about what's going on. I want to be here for you guys. I need you to let me back in. And I'm like, we didn't really see a lot of, like with Nina, we really saw her, like, instances of her wanting to know something and being told, you wouldn't understand mom, or stuff like that a lot. But with Tyler, aside from you know, when Kinsey lied about leaving, having filed that police report. I don't remember. Mostly with him, I just remember when he was drunk and started to remember, he got frustrated and decided, I don't like this. But I feel like they're saying that he's like, I don't understand why we're not connecting. And we just haven't seen a lot of that unless I'm forgetting something.
The only thing I can really think of is the one scene when he confronts Kinsey last episode after talking to the police and seeing that it wasn't, where he was just like, why won't you tell me what's going on? And she just responds with, I can't.
Yeah, so it's all about the police report. That's it.
Pretty much.
I guess. So anyway, then they have this weird conversation that it seems like a person who didn't know anything about magic wouldn't have or be able to have, where she's like, when you left, you made a decision to forget some stuff. And he's like to block out certain memories. Yeah, you made a choice and I've been trying to honor that choice. And it seems like he would say, well, how would I block out memories? Did I like hit myself with a hammer or, and why would you have any control over that? But he says, well, if that happened, whatever the choice was, I'm not happy with it. I'm changing my mind. So just tell me, what did I forget? It's like, he's just accepts it. Okay. I guess I successfully somehow blocked out memories and you can tell me what they are. But anyway, then she says, you know, I have to show you. And I was like, yeah, he got his memories back. That was good.
Yes, finally.
That's all I had on that.
So, like I said, I don't know that I have a lot more to add to what you guys did. Just happy that it finally happened. You know, I'm glad they didn't wait till the very end or something and draw it out. I feel like as you guys were talking about this episode, you know, and, you know, Tyler maybe going back to Montana and that, you know, that's one part of how it ends or something. And I think that's could be a possibility, because I think what we've seen, especially in this episode, you know, how isolated Kinsey was, you know, she's feeling very alone, you know, at least until the end, until Tyler decided to change his mind about remembering magic. She was feeling very alone, like she couldn't connect with him. She was feeling very distant. I think she's feeling very distant with her friends. Scott's far away and he was kind of busy. And so she's like, okay, yeah, go do your thing. So she's kind of feeling kind of lonely. Bodhi's being a little shithead. You know, I think she's feeling very lonely. Her mom's alone, got Josh. So, and then Bodhi's kind of going through some growing, this episode is a little different, obviously, but you know, Bodhi's kind of going through something and he's growing up, and Nina's starting to date and getting kind of serious with Josh, and Tyler had his life out in Montana. And I think that we're kind of, I wonder if it's kind of setting this, the stage for us, with how it ends with all of them kind of being apart a little bit and seeing how they kind of handle being alone versus together, which makes me kind of sad because I really like the family together. I was so happy when Tyler decided to stay, when he made that decision, like, you know, oh, I'm, you know, I want to be here and this is what I need to do. And when he made that effort with Kinsey, because I like seeing them all together, you know, it's about the family, you know, at its core.
He's 18.
This show. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah, you can't stay home forever, but you know, it's just nice. Nice to see them all together. They have, you know, you think of like season one, you know, when they were all so close, you know, and, you know,
but they were also depressed too. So it's nice now when they're happy sometimes together.
Yeah. So I don't know. I get a feeling like maybe that's how things are going to kind of maybe fall out a little bit. I mean, clearly Bodhi's too young to be running off, but Kinsey's getting ready to be older, you know, she's getting ready, like she was going to be following Tyler in, you know, getting up to her 18th birthday. You know, she might be gone too.
Maybe she goes
series ends and they're all, you know, I think we should all just go our separate ways, and then like Bodhi takes off on a bus.
Bye. If he's still dodge, he might. I don't know.
The bus driving off here. With his finger out the window. Aloha.
Bye.
Hello. Bye. That's good. Last scene.
Yeah. So I don't know. I don't know. Feels like that's maybe where they're going, but I don't know how it'll end or anything. So anyway. What about notes or any other points? Paige, do you have anything else?
No other points, but I've got notes. Again, since we mentioned it in like episode two, I'm like, well, I'm going to make a note of the opening title sequence, and it's the memory key in this one.
Oh, gosh, you know, I don't think I even paid attention this time.
Which is interesting, because now episodes 3 and 4 have shown the key that is the most important at the very end of the episode. So it's kind of a little foreshadowing, because last week was the ghost key, which is then when, you know, Dodge took over. And so it was the memory key this week, which is kind of, if you're really paying attention, like, we should figure. Like, well, yeah, it's almost a spoiler. It's like, well, Tyler's going to get that. Yeah,
I'm glad I didn't notice.
It was good to see Scott again. Kinsey was FaceTiming with him and filling him in on how things are going. I did have a funny thought while watching that scene, because I was like, you know, when it cuts to Scott in his flat, I was like, I can imagine, like, well, how do we show the viewer that Scott's in the UK for sure? You know, besides having him have a flatmate who's also British. I got it. It's raining. Perfect. Genius.
Rain.
Makes it very clear.
I like that scene just because I like him and it was good to see him. But it was a bit sad because the point was really that he doesn't have time for her anymore and she's kind of can't count on him.
You see, Kinsey and Carly getting along really well. And Kinsey invites Carly to attend the private basement screening of The Splattering 2, which ends in a really strange place. I was like, that's a strange ending for a movie, guys.
Wow, a little bit of a cliffhanger there.
And then Bodhi's back there watching as Dodge. So Dodge is watching the movie going, I was a better lobster monster.
That movie looks awful, by the way. Right? Just let me say. Like, maybe it's good if you actually sit down and watch it, but it sure looks bad.
And yeah, then we talked a little bit about Ellie and Rufus, but you know, this story that's just being given to us in like one scene at a time each episode, with Ellie still not comfortable in Matheson, so they sold the house and she's ready to move on, but of course Rufus is upset because he doesn't want to leave.
She reminded me of something that bothered me about my own mother, which is not being straight. Like she said, it was never meant to be a permanent move, but the real truth is she was testing the waters and then she didn't like how it went and so decided not to stay. And I wish she would have just said that, you know. It made me feel bad for Rufus, not just because they might not get to stay there, but because she wasn't being straight with him.
And then he talked about Rufus catching on to Bodhi really quick, which was fun. He'd be the one to do it. And then at the end though, when they're driving away in the car, Ellie and Rufus, I was surprised that he's not telling his mom what happened after the fact while they're driving away. It's like, I understand him still kind of wanting to protect her because she was threatened. But it's like, Ellie has had, you know, experience with Dodge in the past. She would understand what's going on. Like, why not tell her when they're away from the house and they come up with a plan? You
know? I mean, he is leaving the locks with a demon.
Yeah.
Without telling I'm out of here. Good luck.
Good luck.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, that's it.
Nice. Jason?
Let's see. I already talked about that one. Well, we see Gordy again, and he's telling Nina what a great job Kinsey and the others are doing on the film for the Matheson website. And I'm like, why show this guy unless he's a demon or something? Because he's not adding anything else.
Right?
He keeps popping up. I think they're going to try and set us up for a twist, but I'm on to him. I don't trust that dude either.
I mean, what else is he there for? He's not adding anything, I don't think.
Unless it's like a red shirt, because I feel like someone has to die, you know?
Maybe that's it.
Trying to make us care for him.
Show this guy
a
few times so he's a character and then we can kill him. But he seems sketchy anyways. They are working on the Splattering 2, which Kinsey says, maybe we already knew that, but I wasn't sure. Sam Lesser, the ghost, is not out there, or it seems like they would have shown him. I'm guessing, or maybe he is, but there's just no place for him in the story, so they haven't bothered, you know. I don't know. We don't really know what Bodhi's been doing this whole time.
Right. I mean, Chamberlain's supposed to be out there too. We haven't seen him out there with Bodhi, so.
Good point.
You
would think that Bodhi would talk to Chamberlain, since what else are you going to do?
I mean, for the love of Pete, out there. use your knowledge base, man.
It's interesting that with the ghosts, they freeze things inside the house, but I don't know. Have we ever seen one in the house? We only see them when they're outside. I mean, we only see them because we're watching the show and nobody else sees them. But on the show, they choose not to show them inside.
I feel like in season one, when Bodhi first uses it, he kind of goes back in the house and
goes back flying in.
Around. But that could also just be from the comics. I know he does that in the comics for sure. But
yeah. Yeah, I don't remember. I mean, I guess we've seen them go into a body that's laying on the floor in the house. So we've at least seen that. And then Dodge's body that Nina finds under Bodhi's bed is actually a time displaced echo of Lucas transformed into Dodge and then rendered inert. So, it took, I think, 5 keys for this body to be there. The Omega key to open the door, the sea cave to have the demon possess Lucas, who Rendell then killed with a hammer. The Echo key to bring Dodge possess Lucas back to life, courtesy of Ellie. The Identity key that he used to make himself look like a woman. The Time Shift key to bring her to the current day. Thank you, Bodhi, for that. And the Ghost key to have her spirit or essence leave her body.
Wow, yeah. As a key combo deal of keys that creates right. this situation.
I almost get this feeling like done too many drugs. Like I don't know. That's it.
Cool. All right. Well, we've covered all of mine. So I think if there are no other notes or points, then we can move on to our listener feedback. Cool. So we only have one this week.
We could take turns reading paragraphs.
Either way just is fine with me. Yeah, we'll go for it. Paik, you take the first one.
That might be fun. Let's do it. We'll see. Lindsay Schlick in three parts. So I'll say she starts with, and then we'll pass it along. Yeah, I enjoyed the possessed Bodhi storyline, but man, Dodge needs to work on her acting skills. She was really bad at pretending to be Bodhi with her nasty attitude all the time. Also, I love the Bodhi actor, but trying to take his angelic face seriously as dangerous was challenging. The fight between him and Rufus was sad. I hope Rufus can open up soon and help.
I disagree. I thought he was great. She goes on, I think it's safe to assume at this point that Montana Girl isn't a demon, but rather just a dumb chick who's super thirsty for some Tyler. I'm with Jason at this point. If the genders were swapped and say some dude drove across multiple states to see Kinsey, we'd be sure he was going to end up a demon or stuffing her dead body in a trunk.
She goes on. Speaking of dead bodies, Nina's reaction to finding what appears to be a dead body under her 12-year-old's bed was understated at best. I don't know for sure if she knows who Dodge is, but either way, she should have been way more upset about it.
While still a bit
underwhelming. She's seen a lot at this point.
Yeah. While still a bit underwhelming of an episode for me, I did enjoy the movement on two storylines. The purpose of gathering all the keys to open a portal, and Tyler finally being back in the know with everything. With only 4 episodes left, hopefully we can keep this momentum.
Yeah. Yeah. So. It's interesting. Gideon, like, he holds the keys together to make a crack in the firmaments. And he says if he has them all, he can, you know, bring the whole world over. But I guess, I don't know if he can't do that with like unformed whispering iron. He needs it to be magic keys. So I guess somehow the locks, when they made the magic keys, they added something that will help him do this unknowingly. So it'd be kind of ironic if he was able to use what they did to help himself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Again, I don't know the rules around it, but I'm interested to see what happens next.
Yeah. Me too. Absolutely.
Well, thank you, Lindsay, for that feedback. And hopefully we will hear from more of you next week. I think with all of the shows coming out, everyone just can't keep up anymore. That's my theory. Everybody's
so much going on.
Pretty too spread much. Thin with trying to watch shows and leave feedback is my guess. I know that happens. Yeah. So hopefully we'll hear more from y'all next week as we start to get to now the second half of the series and the end. So All right. Well, that then leaves us into comic talk. So, Paik, I heard you earlier say that you were ready to sink your teeth into a particular storyline, or maybe more into the storyline of what you talked about last week. So if you guys don't want to hear any comic talk and potential spoilers and what might be upcoming maybe for the show, then you should skip ahead just a little bit. So with that being said, Paik, what you got for us?
Yeah, I figured I don't like to try to spoil future things too much, but with this one, I feel like there's a risk of it, but I don't think I will. So I'll let you guys be the judge once I set it up. But really what made me start thinking, of course, the Rufus scene was the biggest part of it, but even just seeing Dodge / Bodhi at the school immediately started like worrying me on that first watch. Because I've mentioned the other really dark storyline, the other really dark thing that happens besides Bodhi being possessed, which could be a spoiler still if they do this, but I'm pretty sure I don't think they're going to do it. I think the Rufus showdown, if you want to call it that, whatever, the scene with Rufus and Bodhi fighting, I think was the show's version of the story. So I can tell what happens in the comics, but then if they still do it on the show, then it's going to be spoiled, but I don't think that they will. I feel like it's maybe a little too dark for the version that the show has been telling. Mm-hmm. So if you want to know what I was saying, oh God, I'm really worried this might happen, I can give the little comic version of that if you want. Up to you.
Yeah, go ahead. I mean, I presume Rufus dies. So, I can't remember, but
yeah. So actually it's not with Rufus. There's a different character, which is why I was much more worried about a different character. Which is why I was worried at school, because I was worried about the fate of Jamie. Because Jamie is kind of the stand-in for best friend at the school for, there's another little boy in the comics that Bodhi is best friends with at school named Jay, or they call him Jaybird.
Sounds familiar.
And so I was like, Jaybird or Jamie? I was like, oh God, don't do this. Don't do this. Because Bodhi was really close friends with Jay at school, to where Jay knew him very well, and Bodhi had let him in on the secrets just like he has with Jamie about, like, oh, here's these keys and they do this. So Jay knew what was going on. And so when the possession happens where Dodge is now Bodhi, Jay picks up on it at school, where finally he's like, well, you've told me about demons and you've told me about keys. He's like, you're not Bodhi. And it's that same kind of thing. It was like, what did you do with Bodhi? What is it? Jay figures it out. And so while they're at school, Dodge, as Bodhi, grabs Jay and throws him under a school bus, killing him to save his cover. So he just like straight up murders this other little kid. And so that's why I was like, man, I'm kind of worried for Jamie. They better not go this route with that.
It's so rough.
But then I was like,
cute little girl.
Yeah. And I was like, but then the way that this show has been toned down from how brutal and dark the comics really do get, I was like, I think Rufus figuring out that it's not Bodhi and their little fight and then teasing, smashing him with the piano, I think was the show's version of that story. I don't think they're going to continue anymore, especially now that people are starting to catch on that Dodge is Bodhi. I think they'll move on from that pretty quick. Because that him doing that in the comics was somebody figured out what was going on, so he had to get them out of the way so he could continue to be undercover a little bit longer.
Interesting. Yeah, I hope that doesn't happen.
So that's why I was like, so last cute. Week I was like, so, you know, oh, Dodge is possessing Bodhi, awesome. And then I immediately thought of that storyline and thought of how Jamie could be a stand-in for that and was like, oh fuck, please don't do that to me.
Not little Jamie.
Yeah, I don't think they're gonna do it.
I don't think so.
Yeah, I think they, I know that they've played a little with the darker elements and you know, darker things, but they've definitely, it is lighter than the comic. So I don't see them going.
Yeah.
If anything does happen, it won't be, I don't think, that dark.
Yeah. So that was I was worried for Jamie throughout this episode. And then with the moment when Rufus confronts him, you're not Bodhi, I was like, this is that story. They're doing it this way. Got it. Which then I was worried for Rufus for a little bit, but I think they even toned that down a little bit. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, he took it pretty far knowing that there were two adults right outside on the porch.
Right.
But yeah, I don't think she would have taken it even further knowing that there were people around.
Yeah.
Wow.
So
we'll see.
Maybe no Jaybird storyline, hopefully. I said maybe they can surprise us and double back and kill Jamie anyway, but I don't think so. I think I think what they did this episode was their version to kind of lighten it a little bit.
Yeah, probably. Because am I making this up, or did at some point they say where the comic is like three parts horror and one part drama or magic, and then this is reversed?
Yeah.
So they won't do it. I think there's like severed heads in the comic and stuff.
Oh, the comic gets brutal. Yeah.
Pretty dark.
Yeah.
Dark tone. Cool.
I wouldn't mind seeing that show, to be honest. Yeah. But they can't just suddenly make this show that show.
Right.
No, they can't. Yeah, that would be too weird and would not fit. Have to be
an HBO reboot of Lock and Key years down the road.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll do it.
Yeah, a different version of it or something. Yeah. Nice. Anything else from the comics?
Not really. That was really it that I was just focused on this episode, was seeing, you know, that's kind of the next step in the Dodge possessing Bodhi storyline. So I was interested to see what happened. And then I think we got that version.
Let's hope so. Let's hope that's as far as they go.
I think we got their version. Yeah, the Netflix's version of that story. I think we got.
Right. Cool. Thanks, cool. Paige.
Mm-hmm. All right. Next week, we are going to be covering season 3, episode 5 of Lock and Key, called Siege. And it's all about Key House, right? Seems like Key House would be under siege, but who knows?
Yeah. Makes the most sense.
I would assume, but who knows?
He's like, Dodge is worried that they're onto Asbodi, so gets back with Gideon and is like, all right, let's just bust in and take all the keys. Like, yeah.
Yeah, like brute, I know where they're at. Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's go for it. Yeah, he needs some adult help because his little kid body that she's stuck in is limited.
Yeah, or get out of there.
Yeah.
But I don't know. He doesn't have the ghost key anymore, right?
Mm. No, I think Kinsey took it back.
Well, I guess we'll probably...
Oh, no, gave it back to Bodhi, so no, maybe still does still have it.
Yeah. Mm. Well, maybe we'll find out by watching after this is over. Yeah. Well, Well, I hope so, too. I hope I do. I'm going to try. I got to edit. Well, we are excited for you to follow us into Key House, but until then, you can follow us on Twitter at StrangeTCast.
You can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/StrangerTCast.
You can email us at StrangerThingsCastPod@gmail.com and can also find us on the TV Time app.
You can find Strange Indeed and a bunch of other great podcasts at podcastica.com. Go out and leave a review for Strange Indeed on Apple Podcasts.
Speaking of Podcastica, there's a lot going on right now over there. You want to talk a little bit about the podcasts that...
They all just ended. Coming? Everyone quit. So there's nothing. This is it.
Oh, we're the last podcast standing.
Last light. There's a lot. I, you know, you guys go to podcastica.com. You'll see a bunch of new stuff. I don't want to repeat every single one every time, but I will say that I just finished editing the first episode that Anwen and Penny did for the first episode of The Lord of the Rings, The Rings of Power, which is not out yet, but Amazon gave us a screening and I didn't get to see it because I only asked for two for Anwen and Penny. So I listened to the podcast and I now know what happens in the episode. But I haven't seen it.
Whoops.
Because I had to edit. But it made me really excited to see it. I'm more excited now. So that was cool. It was a great podcast. It'll be out, you know, as soon as you see the episode, you should be able to go and find that podcast if you're interested. It'll be on House Podcastica. And it will also be its own podcast called The Cast of the Rings, both of which can be found at podcastica.com. And the show, by the way, premieres, well, tomorrow night, if you're in a certain time zone, it's 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern time, Thursday night on Amazon Prime Video.
Can't wait.
Mm-hmm. We'll be doing that.
Well, yeah, I need to start scheduling. Maybe then I can actually start checking all of these off of my list because there's too much. So really excited for that one, though. Well, speaking of great podcasts, you should definitely check out Paik and Daphne at their podcast called Run for Your Lives. Paik, do you have a little tease for us this week?
Yeah, this week we hadn't done like an alien invasion movie for a while, so we decided to go check out on Netflix. It's on Netflix streaming right now, so if you want to watch it and give us some feedback, you can. We went to 2011's Battle Los Angeles, which
I don't think I've seen that one.
Quite interesting. It's Aaron Eckhart.
Never even heard of it.
Neo is in it. Michelle Rodriguez. It's got a pretty decent cast. It's got some fun stuff in it. So yeah.
Cool.
That's what we'll be covering this week. It was pretty fun.
You watched it already?
Yeah. Yeah. So we've watched it. We've recorded the episode, but we record feedback a little bit later. So there's still time for feedback if people want to watch it and send it.
Cool.
Yeah.
Nice. I'll have to check that out. I don't think I've heard of that one, but like I know the people, the actors that you just named. So interesting. Thanks.
All right. That's our show. Thanks for listening, everyone.
Until next time, I'm Rima.
I'm Jason.
I'm Paik.
And Jade Anderson is strange indeed.